The Bible readings from Matthew 26, verse 34 to 44, and then from Matthew 27, 45 to 46, and it's in page 995. "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch for me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. The death of Jesus. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Well, good morning. We had a month of prayer through January. I don't know if you remember that far back. But the idea was that that was our way for starting the year, that we would be this year what we're called to be, a house of prayer, that we would be prayerful as a body of God's people. And we asked at the end of that series, what were some of the questions? What were some of the things that would help you more in grappling with the topic of prayer? And the most common thing that came back from several people was this idea of unanswered prayer. How do we understand unanswered prayer? What about unanswered prayer? So today is going to begin to answer that question. Unanswered prayer. What do we make of it? How do we respond? Now, this is huge. It's huge in lots of ways. One of the most pertinent ways that it's huge is that this is very personal. And for some, this has been a big struggle and a point of much turmoil. For some, this has been a block on faith, or maybe a prevention to further prayer. This is a big topic. I'm not going to cover all of it today. I think we're going to come back to look at some more facets of why it is that we can think sometimes our prayers are unanswered. So today we're going to look purely at God's will. The idea of praying God's will is something is God's will. In future occasions, perhaps we'll do this sort of monthly in the months ahead, we'll come back to think about, are there things going on in our lives that would stop God from answering a prayer? What about the whole idea of praying in Jesus' name? What does that mean? We're going to come back to that and look at that. I'm not going to touch today, I think this needs a whole sermon on its own, the whole idea of somebody coming to faith, someone that we love, that we long for them to come to faith. I'm not going to touch that today. But we are going to focus on God's will. The Bible on a few occasions speaks of something being God's will and for us to pray in line with God's will. So that's where we're going to go today. So before we do, let's pray now that God would help us with this. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you expectantly when we pray, because you tell us to. And we come to you now as we look at your word, I'm asking for your help that we would grow in our understanding of prayer. We grow in our depth of prayer. We grow in our confidence of prayer. But Father, help us. Help us with this hard topic. Help us to hear your words. May this not cause us to shrink back from you, but to run towards you. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We spent some time in the month of prayer thinking about the Lord's Prayer, this model of prayer that Jesus has given us, taught his disciples. This is how you should pray. Not that you need to say these exact words, but here's the shape of what your prayers might be. Most of us, I would guess, know the Lord's Prayer off by heart. A couple of lines in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's there in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done. But alongside it come all the requests. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. It's sort of got two things going on, haven't you? Things that are being asked for. And this acknowledgement that God's in charge, your will be done. And we find the same thing in Gethsemane. Jesus there, Matthew 26, if you've got your Bibles, open them up again. Matthew 26, page 997. Jesus there, we find both things going on with him before his Father. Asking. Is there a way? Verse 39, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Asking. And at the same time, surrendering. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Asking and surrendering. Surrendering to a Father who knows best. And if you've seen the program on TV, I forget what day of the week it's on, but it's, I think, called something like, What Would Your Kid Do? Have you seen that program? You can imagine how it works. There's parents, there's children. They're separated from each other. There's all sorts of rounds in this television program of the parents having to guess what the children would do in certain situations. And it's a competition. Eventually, one child gets through to the end, to the final, if you like. And they're given a prize, but they have a choice. And they're sitting on a chair in the middle of the studio. There's two boxes at the side, and they open up these two boxes. And the child has a choice, and the parents, you can sort of see on another screen, are watching on. And the child is asked, now, would you like a family holiday to New York, box number one, or a great big massive cuddly toy, box number two? And then it cuts to the parents' faces. Would you like a family holiday to Thailand, box number one, or a bed in the shape of a car, box number two? As children, we don't always know what's best. Although a bed in the shape of a car would be quite cool, wouldn't it? But as children, we don't always know what's best. We don't always know when we ask for something if that is the best thing for us. More sweets. Another takeaway. As parents, we're supposed to know what's best or what's better. And there's times where we'll say no. even though our child has asked us for something, we know that ultimately this isn't the best thing for them. There's something else that's better. Or to wait is better. There's a sense of that here with Jesus in Gethsemane, surrendering to his Father's will. He is the Father. He knows what's best. Jesus himself, teaching again on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Taking the same logic, if you as a human parent, even though you're, Jesus is brute, isn't he? Even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father, who knows what's best? But it's a surrendering to his will. It's a saying, you're in charge. Sometimes an unanswered prayer is not unanswered, it's just not the answer you asked for. It's not your will being done. But it's a surrendering to say, you know best. I'm asking this, but you know best. You're in charge. I want this, but you're in charge. Your will be done. Surrendering to God's will. Now that's an important part of our praying. That's a part I think some of us need to reclaim, to pull back into our prayers. That we would come before God with this kind of attitude, your will be done, you're in charge, you're our Father. You know best. This is what I'm asking, but you know best. We need to reclaim this and put this back in our praying. But if we end there, if my sermon ended there, there's a sense in which we're, well, it's dangerous, isn't it? Almost a kind of fatalism. What should we pray? What should we ask? Are there ways in which we can know what the Father's will is? What is his will? Well, that's where we're going to go next. First of all, surrender to God's will. Secondly, knowing God's will. 1 John chapter 5 has these words. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." Now we know when we hear this and read this, this is not genie in the bottle territory, is it? Genie in the lamp. You know, it's not a, I can ask for anything I wish, full stop. No, there's a clause in there. In accordance with God's will. So again, the question, do we know his will? Can we know what his will is? How do we know what God wants? Well, it's this, isn't it? The scriptures. This reveals God to us, the mind of God, what he cares about, what he loves, what he treasures, who he is. To have an idea of God's will, we have to be in this. We have to spend time in this. We need to be reading this. Our prayers ought to come in response to scripture. Prayer is part of a conversation, isn't it? God speaks to us primarily through his word. We speak to him in prayer. Which way round is that? Well, God speaks first. Scriptures. Go to scripture first and then respond. Scripture can shape our prayers. Scripture can give us a depth to our prayers which otherwise isn't there. You see, we in our prayers quite often will focus on health or success or comforts. The things that the world around us says is important. But God wants our hearts, our dependence, our attention. Notice the difference? I saw something of that contrast this week up at the crematorium. I was there on Thursday for two funerals. I got there early. And there was another funeral going on beforehand. It's a slightly unusual scene as I drove up the driveway. Some of you can picture it at Garth Road. There was a double-decker bus parked at the top outside the crematorium. And in front of the double-decker bus was the Robin Reliant from Only Fools and Horses with a trailer on the back. And that was the hearse for the funeral taking place. So I sat in my car sort of watching this extraordinary scene. Double-decker bus, Del Boy's car, people taking pictures. And then in front of me, my eyes sort of settled from what was in the distance to a gravestone in front of me. And I forget the name of, it was a husband and wife who were buried. From the 1800s, what it said about the husband had faded. What it said about the woman was still there. Clothed with dignity, rejoicing in the days to come. It's a quote from Proverbs 31. That's a great thing to have on your gravestone, isn't it? Clothed with dignity, rejoicing in the days to come. A depth, scriptural, depth, frivolous, Del Boy. Depth. What does Paul pray for his churches? All kinds of things would be going on in those churches. People unwell, people dying young, people without work, people poor, people with all kinds of struggles, churches just like ours. What kind of things did Paul pray? Well, I've got a list here. I've not put the actual words up, but here's some texts. I'm going to read through them now. Just listen to the kinds of things Paul is praying for these churches. Ephesians 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Praise, we looked at this on a Sunday evening. Do you remember that? He prays that they would know how much Christ loves them. That they would know that in their hearts. Colossians 1. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. The depth. Praise that people would live a life that was worthy of God. To live a life worthy of God. To be called his child, associated with him, one of God's people. Making wise choices, being fruitful. Philippians 1. And this is my prayer. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Depth. That you this week wouldn't let God down in a big way. That you wouldn't sin. That you'd be pure. Depth. What else can we get from Scripture? Where else can we go that gives us depth to our prayers? As you've heard of catechisms, I've mentioned them before, the Westminster Catechism, question and answer, understanding doctrine. What is the chief end of man? What's the purpose of our lives? Answer: to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What is your purpose? To glorify God and enjoy God. That's striking, isn't it? And that's been in, I've sort of jotted it down this morning, that's been in all our songs that we've sung today. You've sung that today. You long to be where the praise is never ending. You are my portion. You are the thing I really treasure. I long for you. You've sung all that this morning. Psalm 16. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. You are my portion. Not stuff, not things, not other people, not relationships. You, God, Christ, to know him, to enjoy him, to see how he satisfies, to see that he's the answer. He is all we need and more. And what does God want? He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to rely on him. He wants us to enjoy him, ultimately, more than anything else. So someone's going on a journey. What do you pray? I don't know, maybe this comes up in growth groups. This prayer requests, growth group. Going on holiday. Going on a mission trip. What do you pray? Safe travel, no delays. We pray that, don't we? Old school language, travelling mercies. Now, that's not a wrong thing to pray. But it's quite shallow, isn't it? You know, in this life, is everything going to go well for you? Are you better off if everything goes well for you, if life is smooth? Is that when you learn lessons? Is that when you rely on God? Is that when the fruit of the Spirit grows? Or do we dig a bit deeper? You know, they're going on a journey. If they get caught in a traffic jam, oh God, would you help them to be patient in that moment? Fruit of the Spirit. And when the traffic jam eases, would you help them to honour you in keeping the laws of the road? Not trying to make up time for lost time. Would you help them to model grace to their children sitting in the back who can hear everything that's said to the other drivers on the road? That's adding flesh to the kind of prayers that Paul was praying. It's depth. It's God's will for them to be holy, driving their car on that journey. Someone's got exams coming up. Has this come up in growth group or an interview? Exams. Is it God's will to succeed? What do we pray? We pray for success. Pray that it will go well. Pray they'll remember things. Now, they're not wrong things to pray. But will we pass every exam in this life? Will we get every job interview that we go for? Is it right that we do? Well, what does God want? He wants us to rely on him. He wants us to honour him and not cheat. But ultimately, he wants us to know that our value doesn't lie in our grades, but in being a child of his. Depth. Someone gets ill. Growth group. This is real, isn't it? This is live. This is in the room, as it were. Is it God's will to heal? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us definitely yes. We don't know. Ultimately, yes, when they get their resurrection body. But in the meantime, that they keep trusting God. They'd know that he still loves them. That they'd still point to him. That if their enjoyment is in him, that will really count and show in whatever struggles are ahead. Praying God's will. You see the depth that it can give us when we know Scripture, when we search Scripture, when we pray Scripture. The surface prayers that we so often pray for comfort, for success, for health. Actually, there's so much more we can pray that is in line with God's will, that we know is in line with God's will, because his Bible says so. To honour him, to love him, to rely on him, to bring glory to him, to enjoy him. Just turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And have a look at verse 7. Here's someone who knows their heart. Part of this is knowing your heart. What are we like? What are we prone to? Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me. And then this is the most significant bit coming up now. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Notice how, this is a saying of Agur. Notice how Agur knows his own heart. He knows what he's prone to. So he's asking for daily bread. Well, it's there in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. But he knows his own heart. So he adds to that. He says, don't give me too much or I might disown you. I might leave you out. I might think, well done me. Haven't I done well to earn this much, to support this much, to have this much? And God doesn't get prayed to anymore or acknowledged anymore because I'm living life and I'm not needing him. Don't give me too much. But don't give me too little, because I might get tempted to steal and then I'd dishonor you. Notice it's God in view all the time, that I would not disown God, that I would not dishonor God. He knows his heart. Praying God's will. There's a challenge for us. Maybe in growth groups this week. We get to prayer time in growth groups. Let's try and help each other. We're going to give prayer requests. Things we want to pray for. Stuff going on in life. Real stuff. Hard stuff. But what's the prayer request? Is it that we just want to make things better? We don't know in this life that that is God's will. He might not cure us of our depression. He might not get rid of that cancer. He might not give us a better boss at work. He might not make things easier at the moment. But we've got Scripture which can add so much to what we can pray. That we would honor God, that we would rely on God, that we would trust God, that we would please God, that we would enjoy God, that we would show the fruit of the Spirit in spite of the circumstances. That we would long for heaven, that he would be our portion. You up for that challenge in growth groups this week? Everyone's looking at the floor. It changes it, doesn't it? Oh, we want things to get better. We do. And that was Christ's prayer in Gethsemane. If there was a way, take this cup from me, could things be better? But there's a surrender to God's will. Your will be done. You're in charge. You're my Father. You love me. And there's areas where we can know God's will. There's concrete stuff we can pray for one another that's of greater importance, greater value than things being better or things being smooth or things being comfortable. If you're a growth group leader, you need to remember that for this week. If you're in a growth group or at a growth group, let's help one another with that this week. That's going to take some time, isn't it, to talk through. What are we praying for? What are we actually asking? What are we saying to God? Because that's one of our struggles with unanswered prayer. We've prayed. It hasn't happened. It might not have been God's will. But he loves us. He's for us. And where we went to in the reading earlier, Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the only believer who faced an unanswered prayer. And he did that so that we don't have to. God forsook him. God was silent to him. God was distant from him. So that we don't need to face that. Now I'm going to come back in future months to look at some other areas, because this doesn't answer everything. And some of you today will go home still with questions and puzzles and struggles. But zooming in on this, God's will, what is God's will? I hope that's given some answers for what we can pray and what we can expect. Our Father, we pray for your help. For some of us at the moment in real struggles, help us to still trust you. Help us to know that you are for us, that you love us, that you're with us. Help us to trust your promises for eternity, that all will be well in the end. But Father, in the meantime, help us to help each other to get more depth in our prayers, to pray the things that we know you want, in terms of becoming more Christ-like, in terms of bringing glory to you, enjoying you, depending on you, being shaped by you. Father, give us more depth. Help us to make the most of Scripture that you've given to us, that we would do this more and more. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.